What's going on? This is Ange Code, and it is actually episode number 10. Can I get some noise? Can I get some? All right. Today, I have some very, very special guests representing Queen's Company, and I'm going to let them talk about it and introduce themselves. So go ahead. You want to start off?
Yeah, sure. Might as well. So my name is Amenzi Enoma. I am the outreach director for Queen's Company.
Yes.
And to my right.
My name is Jessica Pierre, and I am the founder of Queen's Company.
Ow.
My name is Francisca Moliere, and I am the marketing director of Queen's Co.
Okay, okay. Now tell us a little bit about Queen's Co. I know that it's a lot about women empowerment, and you have some really awesome events that I see on your Instagram and your Facebook. What's your Instagram handle? Tell us everything about Queen's Co.
Sure. So we're an organization that works to empower women of color in the greater Boston area. And like you said, we host different events, whether it's networking or workshops, just to help people, well, help women of color improve themselves and to build a network and support one another. And you can find us on Facebook at Queens Co. And you can find us on Instagram at queens.company.
All right. And what kind of, well, actually, what made you want to start this? Was it you by yourself? Was it like a group of you all? I know that a lot of you are from UMass. Holla, all my UMass alum. So what made you want to start Queen's Company?
So basically, one of our signature events is called the Queen's Dinner. And Queen's Company came about through that event. And with that event, I saw that I had like a really solid group of girlfriends, and you know, we would travel together, we would party together, but I wanted to create an event where we could dedicate the night to just empowering one another and talking about our goals and how we can continue to help each other.
Okay.
So in January 2016, I held the Queen's Dinner, and it was very small. It was like eight girls, and you know,
we like were between you and your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we were we did like a whole bunch of activities, and it was a really dope night. Like when people were crying and people were really opening up, but then we were like posting on Snapchat and stuff, and a lot of people who were looking at our Snapchat stories were like, "What's this event? Like, we want to come." So after that event had happened, we decided that we were gonna do it quarterly. And when we saw that people were inquiring about it, that's when we were like, all right, like maybe we can just open it up to a little bit more women. So the second one, we had a little bit more people there.
Did you personally invite these women?
We personally invited people. So it was like very low key. Like we didn't think it was going to be anything big, but we just knew people wanted access to it. So we were like, all right, we'll just invite a little bit more people there. But of course, you know, some people want to get the invite and can't always make it. So it was still a small group. And then after we held our second one in the spring, that's when we were like really talking and like brainstorming. And we were like, you know, we should really make something big out of this.
Right, right.
So that's when we created the organization Queen's Company and decided to hold the Queen's Dinner on a more public note. And then our last one that we had in May, we had 50 women there.
So, wow. 50?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you went from 8 to 50. And that was like an open invitation.
Yep.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Yep.
So how many women are, because I know you mentioned you were the
outreach director.
Outreach, yes. And you were marketing.
Yep.
So how many women are on your like executive board? How many women are behind, are like, who's behind Queen's Company?
We should shout them out.
Yeah.
There's 8 of us. Yeah. So we have Valentina Arce, who's the vice president.
And shout out, Valentina.
We have Joanne Dorgelis, who is the director, the administrative director. And then we have Jackie Stitchell, who's the events director. And then we have Joanne.
Oh, Jackie. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yo, Jackie, I love you. Jackie, no, like for real, I'm like one of your biggest fans. I really love
she's
you.
She's like in and the mic right now.
Like, listen, when we went out on for Chris's birthday, I realized that I really, really like you, and I think that you're really great. Okay, sorry, go ahead. I love Jackie. Like, yo, like, real talk. Like, y'all, like, Jackie's amazing. Like, nice. For real. And she's so pretty. Like, she's so beautiful. Like, wow, she's so beautiful. Okay, keep
she
going.
She really is.
I'm like Jackie's number one fan. Keep going.
It's not the first time we've heard that. So, you know what? Like,
shout out to Jackie.
You right? Shout out to Jackie. What's good?
We have Joanne Theophile, who is the creative director. And then we have Lori Joseph, who's the visual director.
Okay, okay.
So it's eight of us. We're a pretty solid team.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, my gosh. That's so amazing. So what do you have planned up next? What's going on? Do you have... I know that you have something on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. That's going on today. So today's event is actually called The Queen's Tea. I mean, anybody who's going to hear this probably won't be able to
be a part
in,
of it,
but for are you going to do it in the future? Yes. Okay. This is going to actually be, this is our second one that we've done.
Okay.
So the first Queen's Tea we did some months ago, that topic was actually about being a woman of color in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So what we just do is we just have a panel of women. We go on Instagram Live and Facebook Live mm-hmm. for like up to an hour and kind of just address whatever topic we've set aside. We talk about our personal experiences with this topic. We take questions from people, whether it's through Facebook, Instagram, whatever, people who are tuning in, and kind of just have an interactive conversation in okay. the moment with people. So So today's topic is actually about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So the panel is actually going to be led by Jessica, and we've invited some local female entrepreneurs to come in and talk about their experiences with entrepreneurship, successes they've had, failures okay. they've had, any advice for people who might be getting up wanting to start a business but have no clue how to do it, just covering all the basics in regards to entrepreneurship.
Okay,
that's what this topic's about.
When's the next one?
So, that's an awesome question.
Are you doing it like every month?
We try to have
not every month.
Maybe every quarter, maybe.
Every 3 months.
3 months,
maybe,
yeah. But it won't be right mm-hmm. after. It won't be consecutive. Yeah.
Right. Well, let me know when the next one is, because I'm definitely tuning in. Yeah.
You could just be in your room and just turn it on. Yeah. You know?
That's really awesome.
In the evening. Sunday
you know what you should do?
People are chilling.
You should do it on Periscope too.
Oh, yeah, Periscope is
because
yeah.
not everybody, you know, right. not everyone uses Instagram or Facebook. Right.
But there are people. I actually know people who prefer Periscope
yeah.
too.
Yeah, yep. yeah. And on Periscope, people can tune in and it's anonymous. So like maybe like someone on Instagram or Facebook mm-hmm. might not want to like you know yeah. how it says joined
even
Instagram
likes.
Live
you can do likes yeah.
exactly and you can send it to like your family members or whatever. Periscope should pay me.
Right.
I feel like I mentioned so many things that I should get paid for, but one day.
No, you gotta keep that in mind though. That's how you
yeah,
get sponsorships, girl.
I need a little sponsorship.
Sponsored
you know?
This podcast.
All right.
So that's the event that we're having today.
Okay.
So obviously you guys won't be able to tune into this one, but please tune into the next one. We're hoping to cover some juicy topics.
Yeah.
Relationships. Okay. I know that's gonna be a big one when we get to that one.
Yes.
Anything that comes up, anything that's timely, we're gonna cover.
Okay.
So that's I guess the event that's coming up today, but we do have our signature dinner approaching. It's actually in September.
Ooh.
September, what's the day?
11th.
Okay. Yes. September 11th. We have just started with the promo though. Like this is like y'all the first
breaking
to hear about
news.
It. we know that it's happening, but this is the first
you heard
time.
It here
so
first.
You did hear it here first. Because we're hoping to start promo heavily this
yes.
week if all goes according to plan. But as of right now, clearly we can tell you guys it's our signature event.
Ooh.
It's the Queen's Dinner.
September 11th.
September 11th. This
okay.
is the one that had 50 people. I think we're going to aim for the same capacity this mm-hmm. time around because
okay.
we're having it at the same place. Daryl's Corner Bar and Kitchen.
Oh, that place is lit.
You like Daryl's?
Yeah. Okay, oh my yes. gosh, that place is lit.
So
yes.
we have it at Daryl's. It's a private event, so there's nobody else in there except for people that are attending the Queen's Dinner.
Okay.
Tickets will be available soon. We'll have an Eventbrite page, all that stuff. So
let us know where we can follow you. What's
yes.
Your,
so again,
tell us again.
Instagram is queens.company. Facebook is Queens Co. Just search Queens Co. That's the best place to be to start getting all the info about this event that is yeah. coming up.
September 11th.
You heard it here
yes. first on Ange Code.
Yes.
What's good? All right. So make sure you follow them. Do you want to give out your personal like Instagrams or your Twitter accounts like so people can follow
sure,
you,
sure.
put a name to a face?
Yeah. So again, this is Amenzi. My Instagram is @meme. That's @meh_meh_. That's the best place to find me, contact me, all that good stuff. I'm also on Facebook, Amenzi Enoma, AMENZE, last name ENOMA.
All right.
Yeah, so this is Jessica, and you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter @lipstickinpolitics, LIPSTCK Spellings:
Elementary
School
PhD.
Yeah, it always trips me out, though. It's actually real.
So many letters.
So many.
Lipstick and politics.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and you can find me, my name is Francisca again, on Instagram, _SISCAFRAN, and Facebook, Francisca Molier.
All right, we're here. Yeah, we so we're going to get started. Y'all heard it. Y'all heard about Queen's Company. Make sure that you tune in and check out on September 11th their Queen's Dinner. I know I'm going to try to go to that and get some tickets. So
we'd love to have you.
Yes, yes. I would love to attend. So we're going to get started. And so I hate to put a damper on things, but so right now there's a situation happening in Charlottesville, and just to give a little bit of context, I got the CNN article pulled up here, and I'm just gonna tell y'all what it's about. So basically, it's about it's in Charlottesville, Virginia, and it's a rally of white nationalists. It's called, they're calling it Unite the Right, and other right-wing groups, and they're coming together, and I don't really know why. I don't understand what the trigger was. Like, right. I don't understand, you know, I understand that they're against people of color, to put it.
Essentially.
They're just against.
And the funny thing is, I'm sure they wouldn't even put it like that if you asked them.
Right.
But look at you.
They're basically like, about white supremacy. Yes. That's what they're about. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering what the trigger was. So, like, we were talking about this earlier, Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. The trigger was Michael Brown, and it was in Ferguson. So that was, like, that spark. Well, I don't understand what was the spark here. I don't get it. Am I missing something? Did I miss something on the
white
news?
Privilege, really. Just white privilege is a spark. That's a spark. You know, I have the right to do this, so I'm going to do it. What the hell? You know, you guys can do it. You guys had your fun. We're going to tell you who's boss right now. I don't know. I think they're just upset.
I mean, for me, I agree. It came out of left field.
Yeah.
I was living my happy life.
Mm-hmm. Your happy black life.
A happy black life. You know, and I'm minding my business, and I didn't recall hearing about nobody ticking off no white person, so I don't know. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing little snippets about, you know, a little protest happening at UVA. Like, I remember seeing that. And I'm like, oh, these college kids are wildin'. I don't even know why. It's summertime. Same. Go enjoy your life. Like, that's where I thought the problem
was. What are you doing at UVA? What are you doing on campus?
That's what I thought the problem was. And then to turn on my TV and see what went down yesterday and all this stuff, it's like, it's so off guard. Like, out of nowhere for me. Left field. I don't know.
Same. I share the same feelings.
And I think a lot has been boiling up within them. So for years now, we've been talking about Black Lives Matter.
Right. Exactly.
And then Trump comes into office and they realize that, all right, he's one of us.
So Trump validated their feelings.
Mind. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
100%.
Yep. He's like, they're like, he wouldn't mind if we do this. And like, you know, if he's in power, it's time that we take over. Because that's basically what they were saying. Like, you're not going to replace us. Ain't nobody want to replace
us. They were saying that in the protest.
Yes, they were.
Don't nobody want to replace.
No one wants to replace a white person.
I'm happy living my happy black life. I don't want to replace any of you.
Yeah, you guys have way more privilege,
and I think
more
they think that they're replacing them because I feel like they feel like they had to show their privilege. You know what I mean? Like show their
a demonstration of like, we're black. Like, this we're is, still like, here.
We're still exactly.
But we. Right. But the problem is, you're demonstrating something that we already know, we talk about it all the time. We speak on it all the time about your white privilege is a thing
it's
now
alive
because
and
we
well.
Know.
It's alive
that you
healthy.
Have it. So you don't need to remind us of this.
But
we
they don't
know.
Believe that. They don't think it's real.
Nope.
There's a saying that goes, to the oppressors, freedom will always seem like oppression. And that's what's pretty much happening now. The fact that we're trying to fight for the same basic human rights, they're like, whoa, 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 these people are out of line. Like, it's time that we put them back in place because we're the top dogs. We're the supremacists. So y'all need to go back to where y'all
they
came
want us
from.
To stay in our lane.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Fucked
up. So that's why they went to BJ's to get some tiki torches.
They went to Costco.
That's what happened. You had to go get some damn luau shit.
And I was
show me who's boss.
And what's crazy is that they're so pro-white and so, you know, anti-anything else that they're using tiki torches, and that's not even a white American.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. That's from a different culture.
Right. And it's not even intimidating.
What are you
y'all
doing?
Not even intimidating. Y'all not even scared. scaring us.
Like, we literally laughed. I think a lot of us black people were laughing. A lot of people of color were like laughing. Like, oh, look
they
at
made
these.
Memes. They made memes. They out thought of the, they knew how to protest. Out of the pictures.
Yeah.
Out of all the pictures of that they had with the torches and all that shit. It's ridiculous. So basically, after it started, there were a lot of counter protests that went about. And there was a 32. So I need to debunk this. I was seeing on Twitter. This is why you can't believe everything that you see on Twitter.
Oh, social media, period.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So, you know, if there's something that is really sensitive, you should Google it and really do your research. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to own this. And I believe that there was thank God that this isn't true, but that a 12-year-old girl was killed, a 12-year-old black girl was killed during these protests. So I didn't do the research and I believed it. But then once I did the research, it was actually a 32-year-old white woman who was killed. And the way that she was killed, there was a counter protest. So I guess she was a part of the counter protest. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was a white ally. And there was a car that just went into a group of people and decided, that was a white nationalist that thought it was okay. So it wasn't like, when I first heard of the story, I thought it was a black person or a person of color that was pissed off. Like, that mm-hmm. should piss me off. Or that was triggered. And that went and did that to the actual Unite the Right, like the white nationalist protest. But it was actually someone from the white nationalist
if it was, though.
Group. If it was a black person... It would be a civil war.
Imagine
like this shit would spark a civil war.
Absolutely.
So notice how we don't do the things that you guys seem to think we do.
Right.
That is so deserving of the brutality that we have to deal with. We don't even think to do those things because we know what's going to come. And you guys sit there and do it, and everything is peaches and cream. Like right. I saw this man seated on the side of the road. When the police finally caught him, just sitting there,
they're not killed.
No, they're
not
surrounded
killed.
Him.
Yep. Not
you
killed.
Know, he kind of just
not
sitting
killed.
There.
Not killed.
Not dead.
Not killed.
In
not
the
shot.
Road.
Not killed.
Just sitting next to his car, the same car that he used to barrel into these people. He's just sitting down
Guess
on the
what?
Floor.
Guess what?
Next to it.
Guess what?
With the police.
He wasn't killed.
No.
That's Absolutely crazy.
No, what do you mean? He's someone's son.
He wasn't yep. killed. He wasn't killed.
He's a yeah. suspect.
He wasn't killed. He wasn't killed.
Make him as innocent as possible.
He wasn't killed. He wasn't killed. Right. He wasn't killed.
And all over his Facebook, there's a whole bunch of pictures of him with guns and throwing like Nazi signs and stuff like that. Like, it's just white privilege is just really.
You
want
to know? He was. I'm not even gonna say his name because he doesn't deserve any of that shit.
Nope.
But he. It was a hit and run. He was 20 years old.
20.
He was 20. He was young.
He
was from Ohio.
Like an old ass man.
Oh. He was from Ohio.
Yeah, he
and let me see. Yeah, he was arrested and charged with one count of second degree murder, three counts of malicious wounding, and one count of hit and run with injury. Because there's about like 20 people that are injured. Yeah. So this is crazy. I'm watching a video right now, and you were actually talking about it earlier. How there's a bunch of white there's about a bunch of white nationalists that are taking what is that called, shields, I guess, and they're going towards police mm-hmm. with them, like basically making a human shield and going towards the police with that, like mm-hmm. physically touching the police.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, what you said earlier?
So I seen the same video last night. And honestly, I was really upset yesterday, but I was with family and I was really trying to, you know, just like keep my peace and keep my joy. Because I'm like, honestly, I'm really not intimidated by these white losers that are marching with little tiki torches. So it's whatever. Mm. But then when I saw that video, it really triggered me and it made me upset because you see a crowd of white people pushing the police, like basically assaulting them.
Yep.
And nothing is happening. And black people can't even get like a foot close to police without getting a gun drawn on them and getting shot.
What? Don't like, cross this
you
line
had that brave
toe.
Girl down in where she was to stand in front of them, and you have all these white people, like you said, blocking them.
It's mm-hmm. it's just ridiculous to me because like we're always perceived as a threat, but then when you have a direct threat
a
in
direct
front of
threat.
You
a
don't
physical,
react
yeah.
like what is that? That
That's
is
when
white
the training
privilege.
Kicked in.
That is white yeah. privilege.
100%.
It's ridiculous. It's because I would have been honestly like to me the narrative in the media is there's nothing scarier than a big black man. Mm-hmm. There's nothing scarier to me than a white man, a white racist man. Like that scares the living hell out of me.
Right. Like that's
I will run away. I'll actively walk away.
But what they describe of how black people intimidate them is actually what you see in a white racist white person, like that evil, like malicious, I'm gonna tear you limb from limb. That's what you see in a race. You don't see that black person.
No,
get out of here.
Exactly.
Get out of here.
Exactly.
You're right. I feel overwhelmed right now. I'm gonna name that. Like I feel like talking. I haven't really talked about it, mm-hmm. and now I mean, that I'm so sitting fresh. Here talking about
this
it,
is my, this
I'm
is like, my first. Oh, it's been like 24 hours.
This is like my it's happening my now. Conversation. Yeah. Like it's still people are still protesting. Like it's still happening. So I think I'm just gonna name that. I feel super overwhelmed. Like I feel I'm kind of speechless in a way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? This shit is crazy. And I guess while they were supervising the protest, or not supervising, but I guess watching it, the police and the world, there was a helicopter that crashed, and two state troopers were killed in the crash. And I don't know. It's
karma.
Tell us more. Talk more about that. I was about to say something.
I mean, I'm not afraid to call it out how it is.
Call it out. Call it out. Call it out. Call it out.
The police are directly derived from white supremacy.
Indeed.
And it's like, y'all not trying to do your job. Like, your job is to protect citizens. And you have these people marching through, screaming all these angry,
a terrorist attack.
Speech, doing all these things.
Domestic terrorism, 100%.
And you guys let it escalate to the point where you even needed a chopper in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if y'all had taken control of the situation, then it would have never escalated to the point where you would even need a chopper.
Right. Mm-hmm. To be surveilling, like, to be watching what was happening. I feel like it grew so fast, and I kind of like what Amenzi was saying earlier, how I thought it, I looked at it as a joke, low key. I was like, this ain't shit. Yeah. It's just a bunch of white, angry, mm-hmm. white, nasty people.
This is my thing, because even though I did earlier say that it kind of came out of left field for me, something in the bottom of my heart had a feeling that it was going to get bad. Because I remember leading up to it, I remember reading something about the fact that they wanted to have this protest in a specific area in Charlottesville and got a permit and everything, you know, really went about it the right way. When the city officials heard, you know, heard all the people complaining that we don't want this protest to happen, it's racist, all this stuff, they revoked the permit mm-hmm. and told them they couldn't have their protest there. So everybody thought that that was going to be, you know, the end of the protest. And then the people that were organized protests were tweeting, "We shall not be stopped." Like, as in, you took our permit away and we're still going to go out there.
Right.
Now, if this was black people, we can't even freaking play our music too loud at Franklin Park in Boston without the police showing up.
You know what happened?
And asking us for our damn permit. Without you showing up and asking me for my damn permit. 100%. If these white people, you revoked their permit and they said they still showing up anyway, how did the police not have this
the
shit
police
shut
been
down?
There. The police would have been like, there before it happened.
It wouldn't have been able to start if it was black people, because we took your permit away. How dare you? They still got the 100%. Movement going in this situation. They told you to your face, well, we coming out anyway. And you still weren't prepared.
That's crazy.
And I've been to plenty of peaceful protests where it's majority people of color. Where the cops are all over the place. Like, waiting. All over the place. Helicopters.
Waiting for shit to pop off.
Everything. But yet, y'all let... I can't believe that... They let this happen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I can't believe. Like, I understand that there's a lot of fucked up racist white people out there, and I understand that they're going to want to exercise their Second Amendment. And I understand that it's part of the Second Amendment, but when it comes to something as intimidating as fucking putting up Nazi, Nazi salutes. Like, come on, we cannot let this happen. Like, this is 2017. This is supposed to be
America. Know, in Germany, if anybody does a salute, it's like against the law. That shit is against the law over there. Like, you could get time. Like, you can serve time. You can get like all of that shit. You can't be doing that in public.
Right.
You can't salute. You can't do nothing that's Nazi related. But over here, you have people getting away with it on camera.
It's ridiculous. Like, and it's not even just disrespectful to people of color. It's disrespectful to the fact that America, like, we went to World War II to fight against mm-hmm. these exact same types of people. Right. It's disrespectful to the veterans, to the people that died in this war for to protect us. Mm-hmm. And now we're letting this happen on American soil in 2017.
And it's so funny because when they do them salutes, they don't do it because they're doing it to mock us.
They're doing it to make us upset.
It's taunting. It's not like you're an actual Nazi and you're doing your actual. No, you're just knowing that it's going to get under our skin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't believe in it 100%.
They don't.
No, I was just saying that we were like, I feel like we're reiterating the white privilege in every single dynamic of this situation. And every single dynamic, the thing is, the reason why everything happened, the answer is white. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna, we're still gonna do this protest regardless of what you say, white privilege. I'm gonna be up against you, up against the shield, and actually physically touch the police. Why can I do that?
White privilege. White,
you know what I mean? Right. I just feel like everything is just like, this is fucked up. Like, how do we rectify that? I don't know.
This is heavy. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
I have to take a couple deep breaths.
And what makes it worse is I was saying this earlier. They're trying to pass a law talking about common sense law. So if in Virginia, so if someone runs over a protester, that's common sense because the protester wasn't supposed to be in the road. So.
What?
Yeah.
What so, about the right, the peaceful right to assembly? What? That's mm-hmm.
What? It's common sense. For a second, I thought what you were going to say was like it's common sense to not do this shit,
right?
But you're telling me they want to pass some shit
to protect the drivers. You know what it is, though? It's not common sense when a person barrels into two cars.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, right. If it was one car and he hit people in the road with his car, I'm not saying I agree with that common sense law, but you could try to utilize that. Mm. If you see two cars in front of you and you smash into them, that's not the common sense law. There's no law. The law shouldn't even be there because you broke the law by ramming your vehicle into two other cars
on purpose.
You can try to claim it was an accident, but even if you say it was an accident, you're still at fault. You're still liable. So, common sense law, my ass. You can't use it. No. Sorry.
No.
And not to mention the whole crowds of people that was around. Like, you were bound to hurt somebody regardless. Like, this is just all some nonsense. But we'll see how it plays out.
I'm looking up right now.
Common sense law.
I'm looking up on online the update on, like, I can cut all these pauses out and shit, but I'm trying to look up the update on like what's happening now. You know what I'm saying? Like right now while we're sitting here talking.
Well, I can tell you right now that there's going to be another white nationalist rally in Boston on Saturday.
Wonderful. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, on Saturday is going to be a white
nationalist
rally in Boston, Massachusetts at the Boston Common. But there's also being a counter protest that's been brewing up too. Shout outs to Monica Cannon. She's one of the activists that's going to be organizing this protest. So the goal is to have everybody from the counter protest go before the white nationalists get there, because if they go there and they see a large group of people that are ready to gonna disperse, because that happened to them before. I forget what town it was, but basically they planned this whole protest or whatever, this whole demonstration, and then people found out about it and got there before them, and basically we're in solidarity mm-hmm. with people
like
of color.
Y'all not starting this shit.
Like, y'all not gonna do this here, and they had no choice but to leave because they know if they didn't there was gonna be some problems,
right?
And the police was like, if y'all stay here, we're gonna charge you for inciting a riot. So basically that's what we're trying to do now, is
stop it before it even starts.
What happened in Charlottesville,
but a lot of people might not have known about it. They might have been on a low about it.
I mean, for me to have known about it.
I just found out about Boston. I just found out about the Boston. I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
That shit. But you know what? I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be, because there's hella racist ass. Yeah. There's racist ass white people.
Massachusetts in general, everybody says it's yeah, so racist too. I can't necessarily say I'm surprised. Even that
came through was just like, yeah, this is the most racist experience, like, I've ever had.
So yeah. No way.
And yeah. I think a lot of people think that racism is I hate black people, but that's not that's not the only form of racism. Some so you can not. Be a white person and be like, oh, I love black people. Like, black people are mad cool. I have no issue with them. But you're being racist because you're not questioning these issues. You're not educating your other white friends who have that same perspective where they think that they're supreme. You're not questioning white supremacy. You're not questioning this system. So therefore, you're racist too. I don't care. If you're not using your privilege to actively fight against this and actively advocate for people of color, then you're racist too. It's simple.
100%.
So if you don't like what's going on, then go out and handle say your people. Because right now, I'm tired.
Get your man.
We've been marching for years. Man is
this? There shouldn't even been any black people out at Charlottesville. Like, because we're supposed to be there. Like, obviously, but white people, get your people. Like, go get them. Because it shouldn't have been us. It shouldn't have been our job. Like, and if you don't stand up and get them, then we see what time it is. We see where you guys stand.
Right.
Thank you for letting us know. All right.
A lot of white allies will always say, like, I want to help. I don't know what to do. What can I do to help? Or how can I help you guys?
If you're a white ally, if you're a white ally and you're listening right now, put the volume up a little bit. I appreciate you for being an ally. Or if you want to be a white ally and you don't know what to do, listen up.
Educate your people. Talk to your people. Right. Get control of your people, because your people are the root of the problem. Everybody's talking about, oh, we're blaming Donald Trump. We're blaming this. Donald Trump is not the one that created white supremacy. No, America did it. White men did it. Mm-hmm. As soon as they came to the shores of America and started killing all of the Native Americans. So you guys need to check yourselves. Right. That's what white allies need to do. Don't worry about us, because we've been organizing. We've been doing everything already. But what y'all need to do is check your white friends. Check your white family members. Check your families that voted for Trump.
Because all those people that were out there, if you had a white family member that disagreed, like, I know my mom, if it was me, and my mom, you're doing what? And she didn't agree, she's snatching me up. 100%. She's going to snatch me up, but you're not going out there to do nothing, because that's stupid. So how did them white kids, this was a 20-year-old boy who ran these people over. Where's your family? Yeah. Where are your parents? So they either agree, because for you to be 20 years old and do that, that means somebody raised you to be this way. Because you're 20. You aren't old enough to be old racist. You a new neo-racist who was raised.
Who taught you?
So somebody taught you this.
Right.
So that's a damn shame. Okay. Listen.
Man, I don't want to give this anymore.
I'm done.
Energy, life.
I'm going to have to take take a shot after this.
No, it's unfortunate, because
this shit is ridiculous.
Anytime something like this happens, it's unfortunate, because it takes our attention away from the things that we should be and focusing on and should be doing, and 100%. We all have to stop what we're doing and have to, and it's annoying to have to continue having to do it
and have to sit down and spent 30 minutes talking about fucking white people and white nationalists, and you know, the fact, like, we could have been laughing, we could have been enjoying our lives, we could have been like not doing something that affects our mental health right now. Like, we could have been doing something that
this is how the devil comes and steals your joy, people. They warn you about this.
It's the devil.
This is the devil. The devil right now is somewhere doing a dance, because we're in this room upset like this.
Well,
this
now we're about to laugh.
I'm excited.
Now we're about to laugh. This is a transition. The devil's not going to
flirt. The devil is a liar. Not today.
Yeah. Not today. So we are going to get started on some questions. I'm really glad that we had this conversation, even though it was a little bit draining. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that we had this conversation that other people are going to be able to listen to it. And I hope that people that might not understand people of color might not understand why we're angry, or, you know, I just hope that somebody learned something from this episode. Mm-hmm. That somebody learned something. I really hope. And if you did learn something, let me know. And that I would love that. So, all right, we're going to get started. There were a lot of questions that were submitted.
Come on.
And I'm so, so appreciative of everyone that submitted questions. So we're going to start. I don't even know. There are so many good ones. Okay. So here's one that I think is perfect for Queen's Company that someone submitted. So it says, how do you find confidence in yourself, and how do you recommend other women find it in themselves as well? Mm-hmm. Oh, it kind of gave me goosebumps reading that shit. Oh my god! No, like that ass.
Oh, I have to think.
How do you find? Let's do one part. Are you confident in yourself? That's the first thing. Like, that's, I guess, whoever submitted this question is asking because they assume that either myself or my guests like have the confidence, or mm-hmm. maybe they don't have it.
I would say yes, and so. I wasn't always confident in myself, and a huge part of my journey to becoming confident in who I am is to actually get to know who I am. Right. Because I feel like society tries to dictate who we're supposed to be, mm-hmm. and we're always trying to act according to other people's standards, so we lose ourselves in that process. But sometimes you need to take a step back and really get to know who you are and what you have to offer and what you're good at and what you can continue to improve on. And once you have a good grasp of who you are and you're able to just really shut off all of the outside noise, you're like, okay, I'm not that bad. Right. But like, I'm pretty dope. And in that way, you're able to have some confidence in yourself and you're able to recognize your strengths and the positive things about yourself mm-hmm. and continue to build on those things. Because we let people dictate too much of our lives, and that's we have true. To really reclaim our powers mm-hmm. and really, you know, create our own perception of who we are and just get to know ourselves. And that includes spending time alone, journaling, reflecting, hanging around people who constantly lift you up. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot be
healthy
around
people. Healthy validation.
Who,
yeah,
exactly.
Not the negative right. validation.
Exactly.
Healthy validation.
Be around people who reflect who you are. Be around people who make it seem like you're an easy person to get to know. Because a lot of people make it seem like we're difficult to love. We're difficult to be around. If people make you feel that way, those are not your people. Mm-hmm. So stay away from them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But be around people who continue to spark your light.
And that, just to follow up on what she said, seeking the acceptance from other people, even though it's very easy to seek it with all the stuff we see on social media these days, you know, all you have to do is put up a picture. And if you get a like, some people...
That's validation.
It's right validation, yeah. You know? So I know it's very easy to get that instant gratification that somebody likes you. Like, that's the society we live in today. But we have to get rid of that mentality and that ideal. And like I was saying earlier, we need healthy validation. Like, people around you should be validating you as an individual, but in a healthy way, and in a healthy manner.
Yeah. Also like encouraging you to open up and have a growth mindset, yes. I guess, mm-hmm. and not necessarily just validating you mm-hmm. and saying like, yeah, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're great, I'm uplifting you. But a way to uplift people is also by challenging their thinking.
Exactly. Like, making them feel want to be better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, if you don't agree with something that your friend is doing, and you know that your friend is doing something that's not fruitful or not like healthy for them, or they're just on the wrong track, it's your job as a friend to not just like, yeah, validate their feelings when they should be validated. But if they're wrong, they're fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And it's important to surround yourself with people that will tell you when you're wrong. And I think, like,
that's true.
To I don't know, like, for me, I'm confident, but I still got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
As
all of us,
I feel like if you are 100% confident, you for me, I'm gonna speak for myself, I think you're a little bit egotistical. Like, if you're you should always have something that you need mm-hmm. you need to work on. Mm-hmm. You should mm-hmm. no one is perfect in this world. At all. You should not sit here and say like, there's nothing that I need to work on, I am 100% confident in myself and blah blah blah. Like, I for me, confidence, you have to be able to grow, and you have to be able to be confident in the fact that like you're going to grow. Do you get what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
Yep.
And it's okay to not be 100% confident. Like, that doesn't mean that you're not confident at all. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm confident. I'm pretty confident. Mm-hmm. My titties are out right now. But not only like in appearance, but in with mentally, my thinking, yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I know I gotta lose some weight, bitch. I gotta go to the gym ASAP. And, but that doesn't mean that I'm not, confident. You know, confident yep. or
right.
that.
Right.
And I think that people that sit here and think like, oh, I need to be confident, I need to like, you have to really think about what you're good at. What is it that you love about yourself? And mm-hmm. like, yeah. go from there. And that way you gain a little bit of confidence. Yeah.
Because constantly focusing on what you're not good at is not going to boost your confidence.
It's not
going to build your confidence. But focusing on what you are good at and highlighting that and building on that, which will then lead you hopefully to other things that you didn't know you were good at.
Right.
That's how you're going to build your confidence.
Yeah. And honestly, being honest with yourself too. Because there are times where you try to meet someone else's flow or someone else's wave, and it's just like, you got to be confident in yourself. This is what you're comfortable with. Be honest with yourself, as opposed to trying to fit into, like you said earlier, trying to fit into something else or someone else that you see that looks so dope. Oh, she's dope.
And then stop comparing yourself to other people.
So, because will kill you.
The most confident woman has her insecurities. We all have our insecurities. Something. So you cannot compare yourself to other people, especially like Amenzi touched upon it a little bit with social media. We only see the good things.
That's right.
I know when I'm sad and I'm crying, I'm not going to post a selfie on Instagram
tears coming out of your eyes.
I'm not going to do that. Right. But when I just wake up and my hair is all crazy and my eyebrows ain't done, I'm not going to post a selfie. Right. You know what I mean? I'm going to wait until I look and feel my best. So that's all you're going to get from me. But trust and believe, that's not the only aspect of who I am. We all go through
ups and downs.
And we all face failures. No matter, you know, she might look so perfect, but we all fail. Like, it's just a part of life, and just embracing that. It's all good.
Yeah. So in the last episode that I had, I was sharing like personal stories, and I was just saying how like sometimes I'm looking around and I'm like, shit, like sometimes I think that shit isn't okay right now, you know, like that things aren't, 100% going as planned.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that it's okay to not be okay. Like, it's okay to have insecurities. It's okay. Like, you're still, it doesn't mean you're not confident. Like, find what you're good at and embrace those insecurities and try to work on that shit and then keep it pushing.
Indeed.
All right, next question. So let's lighten it up a little bit. Let's see. Okay, what's the biggest turnoff you've ever experienced while being intimate? Somebody said, what's your biggest turnoff you've ever experienced while being intimate? I'll answer this. The first thing that came to my mind was about a smelly belly button, man.
How do you even get close enough to smell? When you're being intimate.
Listen, when you're like, let's say you're going down.
But now I'm about to.
No, don't do it to yourself, because I'm going to not be attracted. Like, no, like, for real. I had to Google, like, what causes a smelly belly button. Like, it was stressing me out.
Oh, no, forget it. Don't tell me.
No, it was stressing me out. A smelly belly button is disgusting. Like, that. So now, ever since I smelled a smelly belly button on somebody else, I make sure my shit.
Yo, make sure you in the shower.
Yo, I'm like, I have a routine. You know how people have, like, okay, your face, and then it's like, your private parts or whatever. Nah, the belly button needs its own time. It needs a minute. I had to say that shit was the first thing that popped in my head. Yeah. Something. Because the thing is, like, okay, let's say you're like kissing him or whatever, and like you're about to like give him some head.
Yeah, you go down.
And you're starting to like work your way down or whatever, or like, I just got a whiff. I was like, no.
I've never heard.
So then that's crazy. Yeah, so I moved my head I was like, wait a second. So then I adjusted myself. You know when you're like adjusting yourself after you're like doing it for a little while or whatever? So I adjusted myself and it was dark. So you know, you like
the listeners need the deep gestures.
Damn it, I don't know how to explain that. You know when you're like shuffling and it's dark and shit. So I'm shuffling and just somehow like my nose ended up near the belly button again. Like, it happened to I'm just God. Like, okay, you got a smelly belly button. That's a fact, and that's nasty. But you know, I still mess with him after that a couple times. I just stayed away from
the
belly button.
Did you tell him about his belly button?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
I can't do that.
He probably doesn't even know.
Exactly.
I'm saying it now. So anybody
right? People be neglecting their belly button. It's real. Sometimes you gotta look down and make sure it ain't crusty, because belly buttons do get crusty.
No, belly buttons, it's like it's a thing.
I guess,
like,
I've never smelled a bad one.
You gotta Google it. I don't remember why the cause.
I clean mine too. I clean my
you
belly
have to sit
too.
And clean it.
Yeah.
Clean your shit. Just like people take a Q-tip and clean the wax out of their ears, bro. That's a natural thing.
And some people don't
like,
even do that.
Yeah, you gotta clean the belly button.
Yeah.
So anybody else want to
share? I mean, I guess to just smells in general.
Yeah.
Are smells just automatic. Like any kind of smell that's not. Because everybody knows what it smells like when you're doing. Right. There's a certain smell. Sex. Anything outside of that smell and it's not a good smell, we have a problem.
Feet smelling.
Feet. It could be anything. Oh, feet. It could be breath. Because breath. I like to kiss. Oh, God. I like to kiss. And if you have bad breath, I can't kiss you. I can't. Like, I'm really just going to do, like, little pecks because you can't be trying to tongue kiss me with your bad breath.
The bad breath thing, I actually look at people's the bottom row of your teeth. That, oh, my gosh.
You look.
Tell me yes, about that. You can see it.
You can okay. see it, like,
the and it's like, the yeah. Ew! That's when you know you're in for that's a bad breath.
Like, you know, I'm about to go home and floss like, the fuck out my teeth. Oh, shit, I'm
no,
scared.
I floss religiously, oh especially because of my retainers. I used to. And then I'm just like, I'm always looking like, yeah, floss, no, people. No kiss, no kiss.
Ew. Oh, that's
no, kissing is very selective.
Let's see. I got a lot. Okay. Oh, I guess this is for you, Jess, because you watch Power, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a question from Power, because I don't watch Power. I watch Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones all day. Let's fucking go.
No Game of Thrones questions on it?
No. Game of Thrones fans, let's go.
What
and
is the question?
Insecure. What the fuck is good?
Insecure. Right? Insecure questions? This is the Queen's Company episode. Insecure questions?
You
so,
got Power.
Are you a Tasha or an Angela? Who is Tasha and who's Angela?
Oh, shoot. All right.
Give us a nutshell version.
All right. So, the main character, his name is Ghost. Now, I'm not going to spoil anything. The main character, his name is Ghost, and he was married to a woman named Tasha for a while. And Ghost is a drug dealer, and Tasha's been riding out with him. She knows everything. Like, he doesn't make a single move without Tasha. Mm-hmm. And then Angela is Ghost's side chick, who he used to be in love with her when they were younger high school. And then all of a sudden she had popped up. But Angela is a U.S. attorney. Mm. And she's actually actively fighting cases against drug dealers. Oh. So Angela always finds herself in a situation where she has to figure out whether she wants to be loyal to Ghost or whether she wants to be loyal to herself and do what she wants to do, which is like, you know, make the world a better place and get these criminals out of here. Mm-hmm. So Angela be pissing people off because she's always in a predicament where she has to like rat out Ghost, and she also tried to get him locked up but ended up exonerating him. But anyways, Tasha is very loyal. And she's been riding out with Ghost, even though she knew that he was messing around with Angela. Mm-hmm. So she was loyal to him, but now she's kind of doing her own thing or whatever. But, which one
are
am
Tasha,
I?
I guess, like, are you Team Tasha or Team Angela?
I mean,
I don't know.
It's kind of tough. But I guess I would say I'm Team Tasha because she always, she's very loyal. Mm. She's very loyal. So that's it.
Do you want Ghost to be with Tasha or Angela? Tasha?
I don't want Ghost to be with anyone because he tries to be a good dude. That's the thing. A lot of guys, like, they try so hard, but they always end up in situations where you just end up being trash. Like, trash. It just
is. Oh, my God. Wait. This is a great transition. This is a great transition. Okay. So the question was, this is exactly what somebody wrote. So you said that he ends up being in a trash position, like he's a trash. Mm-hmm. So someone said, I believe in women's rights and I love seeing women flourish and break ceilings, .. It's just sometimes the, quote, men are trash, end quote, jokes are irritate me. Am I tripping?
I mean, I think you need to take a look at your fellow men to see why women are having this conversation. Like, I don't like to male bash. I don't think
but it's always on Twitter. It's always on Twitter.
It's a hashtag or something.
No, it's like a saying.
It is a saying. Yeah, kind of like men are dogs, so men are trash. Yeah.
Well, y'all need to really get it together.
I think it's because she hasn't experienced that men are trash.
Now, my question is: is she talking about in her relationship?
No, I think this is a man. I think
that's what I took it as a man. No woman would ever say that.
A man submitted this and said I believe in women's rights and I love seeing women flourish and break ceilings. It's just sometimes the men are trash jokes irritate me. Why do you keep saying men are trash, god damn it?
He's probably one of the exception, but as a general population, as a sentence about these group of people, dude, you're trash.
Here's my thing. There's a lot of dudes out here making you look bad.
Yes.
And if you're gonna submit that question, you better make sure you're on point before you even submit
that
question,
and that you're
because there's a lot of dudes out here who truly believe they're good that still do trash things.
Lori.
But literally. No, because literally, that's what happened on Insecure this past. The girl had to let Lawrence know, like, you're the worst kind because you're a good dude who thinks he's good.
She said you're a fuck nigga who thinks he's a good dude.
And you're the worst kind.
The thing is, the girls, that women look at it and they think that they're not a trash boyfriend. You get what I'm saying? Like, they get brainwashed in a way. Mm-hmm.
Because you know that, but
he's such a great guy.
He's great. He's doing trash things.
He just did this one thing. But that one thing is like,
he's doing trash things.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing that's annoying. So for me, then again, all women aren't perfect either.
Yeah.
But at the same time, don't get so hard on yourself if you know that that doesn't apply to you.
100%.
But if you know it applies to you, that's why you you in your feelings, because it probably applies to you.
And y'all need to do some reflection. Like, stop trying to think that women are tripping and that, you know, we're just saying things. We're not saying things to say things. We're saying it based on all of
experience.
Our happenings.
Exactly.
So if that's happening, you need to be like, yo, like, what's going on? And then, like, you want to know something? Think we're trash?
People say, you know, women need to, there's a pattern on for a reason. Like, where are you finding these guys? Or, like, what's your type? Who do you keep dating? Let me tell you something. I have dated people from different races, different states, different, countries, people that aren't American. It's like a common trend. And it kind of freaks me out a little bit. It freaks me out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, worldwide trash.
But I still have love. I still have love for guys out there.
Yeah, 100%.
If I'm not with you like that and you gonna be trash, whatever.
Right.
Whatever.
It's like, whatever. I'm not,
but at the same time, y'all need to do better. Mm-hmm. I love y'all, right. But y'all need to do better.
I'm not gonna lie. I've said before, if you search like my name and then you search on Twitter, like, all men are trash, I've probably said it. But I actually stopped saying that because I know that, like, I have a couple friends that are genuinely, like, really, really, really amazing, like, really great people that, that would never do something like that. Or, like, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, I would like to hope that the all men are trash thing is just an exaggeration.
Right. Yeah, it's a generalization.
It's a generalization. Right. Obviously, we do not agree in generalization. Yeah. We don't support them. We don't truly believe in that. 100%. So please don't take it like we really do believe
all men are trash.
We do not. We don't.
But a large percentage of y'all need to get
But there's a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's something behind. There's a reason why. There's a truth behind it.
Right.
But it's not
so
for every particular.
So get to the root of the truth and then fix it. Because y'all... So go get your peep, men. Go get your peep.
Yeah. Before you start angry tweeting while you're listening to this, please, I hope you listen to the end of this little portion where we don't necessarily believe that every single man is trash, but y'all got some shit y'all need to handle. Mm-hmm. Get your mans, please.
Please.
All right. Let's see. Oh, okay. So, I tweeted the other day. I said something along the lines of, like, men with fragile masculinities piss me off. Like, let's do a face mask together. I promise it will be okay.
Oh,
like, so I tweeted that, and that shit blew up. Like, a lot of people retweeted it. Like, a lot of people liked it more than, like, the average, right? So the question that someone submitted is, what is a man whose masculinity is fragile? And would you date someone who has a fragile masculinity? So
this is good. This
so
is good.
I really like this question because...
I like it too.
I'm gonna... answer it on the in the opposite way that the person submitted it. I would date someone that has a fragile masculinity. I actually so in my past I started dating someone, and then while dating them I noticed that they had a fragile masculinity. You get what I'm saying? So, like, it doesn't always come out right away.
No, it doesn't.
But I guess, like, someone with a fragile masculinity is somebody who, like, easily gets embarrassed to do something that is not macho.
Feminine.
Exactly.
Like, I call them cavemen.
Tell
that's me.
Say a little bit more.
That's why I said I like this question, because I'm constantly dealing with this. Like, some of the guys that I'm constantly around, shout out to It's Lit Boston. That's the podcast I'm a part of. Y'all should check that out.
It's Lit Boston.
But a lot of the guys, I call them cavemen. frequently. I call them cavemen, macho men, beating on a chest dudes. Right. Because that's the vibe they give me, because I tell them all the time, their masculinity is fragile. When I'm around them every 2 seconds, pause.
No homo.
Pause. I'm like, y'all do know, y'all don't have to say
just because y'all said something that was remotely gay. And it is remotely like
I can understand if you could tell that your boy was literally trying to make a joke and it was obvious and you threw out a pause but in normal conversation, something that, because the conversation was so normal, you didn't even have to say pause, you're still saying pause. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Right. Or they're so quick to be like, oh, nah, I'm not doing that. That's gay.
Yeah.
It's not gay.
Yeah. I'm face mask.
Like, it's not gay.
I'm face mask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, it's not
like
gay.
Like, take care of yourself.
Stop it.
Yeah.
But because they're so
clean.
Because they're so quick to say that. I literally be like, yo, y'all are macho cavemen dudes, and you believe in that whole he man hear me roar type of mentality. Right. And it's just stupid, because your girl wants to do certain stuff with you sometimes that she likes to do. Just like I gotta do stuff with you that you like to do.
100%.
And if it's masculine or feminine, so what? We're doing it together. Let's enjoy it together.
And the thing is, they're scared. Another trait of a man who has a fragile masculinity is that they're scared of what other people might think. Oh my god, I'm gonna look gay. Absolutely. Like, it's literally that thought. Yeah. And this is not a jab at the LGBTQ community at all. Like, but there are men out here that are like homophobic. That's another trait
and they refuse
of fragile masculinity. Yep. Homophobic.
Exactly. They have this whole, so I just listened to The Read, and there was like a Kid Fury. I don't know if you guys listened to The Read, but he also said this. He had like the whole video about it, saying like, oh, you eat Fruity Pebbles? That's gay. Oh, you eat like brown toast? Oh, nigga, that's gay. And it's just like the simplest thing
that's what
makes
they
them,
do.
You know, kind of like
anything.
Uneasy.
And I tell them all the time, I say, look, if you have the utmost confidence in your sexuality and your masculinity, it won't matter what anybody says or does to you, because you know in your heart, you are 100% heterosexual. Can't nobody question it. Can't nobody change it. So there's nothing anybody can say or do that would make you feel threatened in that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you do know. I told myself, I was like, you do know it makes me think that maybe you are secretly gay more so than you're defending your sexuality.
Yeah. What are you defending?
Because what are you defending?
Why are you so defensive?
What are you trying to hide?
What are you hiding? It makes me quit. Maybe some stupid person will sit there. I'm not stupid. I'm going to look at you and be like,
right.
Okay.
Why are you being so
defensive? Why did that have to be?
And honestly, it goes to a whole nother conversation of why do they even have to be defensive? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just brings up a whole nother, and it's just like, so what if you were, dude? Like,
let's go with a new trend. Fellas, hypermasculinity is played out.
Absolutely.
Like, 100%. If you're an athlete, I'm going to be like, yo, you want to do some yoga with me? And not because it's a feminine thing, or not because you're going to be bent over and be in an uncomfortable situation, but it's going to help you with your athletics. Like, I'm telling you, because it's good for you. Like, open your mind. Be open-minded. Because you will be exposed to so many new things that will benefit your life.
Closed-minded people.
Like a face mask. I feel like...
Bro, a face mask will literally clean your shit. It will
You'll be glowing.
When you said...
and you'll have a nice-looking face.
I imagine hypermasculinity men, people that don't do leg day. It's just all about arms.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what I imagine.
Do
you don't do leg day.
All right. Next question. So I hope that whoever submitted that question got their answer, because I feel like we gave some great examples.
Definitely.
Okay. So this is going to be our last question. What are some tips? What are some tips to get over someone?
I actually read a great piece about this the other day. It just gave like all the things you should do, but the main point of it was to just like get out. Mm-hmm. Like, get out of your funk. Like, don't stay in the funk. Don't stay in the house. Don't stay in that place.
Yep.
Wherever it is, anything that reminds you of it, get out of it. Remove yourself
like
from
physically.
It.
So
physically.
So what do you do? What do you
like
do? You block
them.
It doesn't matter what
your
friends. Well, I would say for me, you got to be with friends. Like, just like you just said, I can't be in the house. If I'm in the house, I'm in my thoughts. I'm in my...
Yes.
And that's the
worst. And if that means unfollowing somebody on social media, don't be ashamed to do that.
Unfollow that person.
You know what?
You don't have to block. I think block is excessive.
Nah, let me tell you something.
Unfollowing does the trick.
Blizzard.
let me tell you something. Actually, Chris Sule, right? Okay. He was on episode one of my episodes because it's 10 now, so it's just so many that I don't even know. So he was on an episode. That's Chris Sule, and he's one of my best friends. Shout out to you. And he actually, I go to him often for. Just not advice, but I guess like I think he's cute. Like, like what you think I should do? or like when something is popping off in any situationship that I'm in, or like if I'm talking to somebody and I'm cutting them off, I go to Chris. I'm like, yo, all right. So he did X, Y, and Z. Like, is he trash? Should I talk to him about, like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, there's a trash thing. And he tells me, he's like, block that nigga. That's literally all he says, that is block, block, such block, a block. Answer. And I'm just like, okay. So and I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
And it's like, block?
Yeah. I think blocking block? Is excessive. Now, people have told me they block to protect themselves. Like, yeah. They block to keep them from going yep. to seek.
Yeah, that's why I have to block.
So I guess I understand that. If you know you don't have the damn self-control, yep. all right, block.
Yes.
Do you know what I do?
I have to block.
Or if somebody is trash, they're going to keep trying to convince you that they're not. And sometimes, yeah. if you know yourself, like if you know you're weak and you're going to fall to excuses, then you have to block because you don't even want to hear the excuse that he has to say. You know what I mean? Because like, all right, cool. Well, I guess I'll give you another chance. But if you know you're like that and you know you don't want to give him another chance.
Then you block.
Block.
Okay.
Block it. And not it's not just the end that, of the world.
Block, iCloud block. And then delete from iCloud.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even have it that far. Yes. Thanks for the tip, girls.
You know what I do?
So that makes sense.
I change their name and my, because what I think is like, people always tell me delete their number, like, well, because I know I'm gonna. In one relationship,
that didn't
I actually
work for me one time. I told, memorized that dude's.
This
number.
Is what I.
So
no.
it didn't work.
Listen. I did the same with one relationship I was in, and I told this dude when we broke up. I said, and this was really harsh of me to say, but I'm gonna just say it anyway. I said, I need you to block me so that I don't make the mistake of hitting you up, because that would be the stupidest mistake that I would make. If I hit you up when I'm drunk or like deep in my feelings, I don't want you to get that shit. And I'm letting you know, like, I do stupid shit when I'm drunk sometimes, and it would be a stupid ass mistake to hit you up again in my life. So please do me a favor. If you're going to do one more thing for me, just block me. Like, if you actually care about me, like you're saying you care about me, and like just block me, and and you know what? This is officially over. Please block me. Do me the favor. You block me because I still have control. If I block you, I could just go into the list, unblock, homie. Or I could just go like, hello. So that I actually did that. I told somebody to block me because I just, that's real. That the temptation to see what they're up to is real as fuck.
To go back to giving whoever asked this question some advice. So what's personally worked for me?
Oh, thank you.
when I'm going through like a tough breakup or something, I get busy. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get focused. I'm going to focus on myself.
Yeah, just
empower myself. And I'm like, that thing that I was putting off because I was so busy with this dude, now I'm about to get back to him. I'm about to go extra high because I'm going to make you seem like, I'm going to make it seem like I'm better without you. So it's that really motivates me to like be the best person I can be, to the point where when they come back, I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot that I was even like motivated by you. I'm so engulfed in what I'm doing. Like, you always have to try to be better. Like, because honestly, people don't realize that, like, as much as you're in love with someone, you're going to go through breakups. It's
there's
a part
toxic
of life.
Shit
like,
out
you're going to meet people that aren't for you. You might have been with them for 2-3 years, but they're just not for you. But there's lessons that you need to learn out of it. So really take control of yourself and control your emotions and really try to figure out what those lessons are and really apply them to your life and go hard for yourself, because nobody's going to go as hard for you as you are going to go for yourself. So really focus on yourself and block his number.
Block.
Honestly, I think one of the biggest things that, and I've done it myself personally, we don't give ourselves enough time. Like, yes, you had a breakup. Yes, it sucks. Please allow yourself the time to get over it. Nobody said it's going to happen tomorrow, and nobody said it's going to happen a week from now. Understand that it's going to take whatever amount of time. I'm thinking of the breakup that I went through that I thought I would never get over, and where I am today, it's so insignificant now. Like, you know, but back then you couldn't tell me nothing. I thought it was the worst thing.
It was your world. It was your world.
So like, just, it's okay. Time really does heal all wounds. That's not a saying for nothing. Time heals all wounds. It really does. So just, it's okay that it's going to take some time. Don't be mad because you'll do, I dwelled on the fact that I wasn't over it yet. Right. Like, damn, I'm still not over it. Like, you're wasting time.
I do that too.
You're wasting time. God, come on.
Help me. Help me. Please help.
Wasting time mad that it's taking me this much time to get it. No, that's so stupid.
And allow, give yourself space to feel how you feel. Because it's okay to be sad.
It's okay to not be okay.
Exactly. Because I'm like, yeah, you got to boss up, blah, blah. But like, there's moments where you're going to boss up and there's moments where you're going to be super sad and depressed. Let yourself be depressed. Just don't hit them up. But let yourself be depressed. Like, it's okay.
But make sure you put a cap on that time.
Yeah.
Like, don't sit here. There was one, it took me like 2-3 years to get over one dude. And it's like, and it was a really long time. And through that time, I'll be honest, I dated other people. Mm-hmm. I like, cause you try to heal yourself by having like another companion. But sometimes you need that minute before somebody else comes into your life.
That's how you end up hurting somebody else sometimes.
Yeah. Make sure you're good.
Innocent bystanders end up getting hurt because 100%. You try to throw yourself. Nah,
and then
okay.
You think you're a shitty person because you know you hurt that person. Then you're like, oh my God, I don't deserve anything good.
It's a vicious cycle.
All right, so that's our time. I got to keep it under an hour, but I am so, so grateful that I had you all on the show.
Thank you, for real.
And I'm glad that we had this conversation because I'm glad that I had it with you all. So make sure that you follow them on Instagram. Yes. Again, Queens Company. Tell them.
Queens.company on Instagram and Queens Co. on Facebook.
Yes. And if you want to, one thing on my last episode, a lot of people started using like the hashtag Ange Code. Mm-hmm. So keep using that hashtag because people will click on it and they can see everything that everyone has talked about the show and different episodes and stuff like that. So use the hashtag. Make sure that you click subscribe, whether it's on SoundCloud or whether it's on the Apple Podcast app. I'm on both. And make sure that you rate it on the podcast app, you know? Maybe I could get to that like top 100 something. 5 stars. Thank you. So, and make sure one more thing that you follow me on Instagram and Twitter. It's Ange Code_. Tell me what you think about this episode. Live tweet while you're listening to it. I love that shit. And thank you so much for listening. It's a wrap. It's Ange Code. That's it.
Thanks for having us.